Okanagan Spirits was inspired by a dislike of waste. That's according to chief distiller Peter von Hahn.
This area is full of many different orchards. And one of the dilemmas was that fruit that doesn't go into the table market was just being left to rot on the ground. Whereas back home in Europe, a lot of the orchardists would have distiller's licenses, which then if they couldn't sell the fruit on the table market, they would then ferment it into an eau de vie or brandy and sell the spirits back on the market with using a copper pot still, and they'd have a license from the government. Really, we are the pioneer company here, Okanagan Spirits, in utilizing surplus Okanagan fruit and also looking at different varieties of wild fruits and berries that are around here to see what we can turn into eau de vies, brandies, liqueurs, schnapps, that sort of thing.
So let's start with the leftover fruit, the excess fruit then. What kind of things are you making then with that, and what sort of fruit are you using?
Well, the first fruit we were working with was the Bartlett pear. In Europe, they call that the Williams pear, and the spirit they make is the Poir Williams, which is a 40% brandy. Takes about 24 pears to make one of our 375 ml bottles. The whole objective is to take the fruit, ferment it in a wine, double distill it, and concentrate that pear into very smooth fruit alcohol to enjoy.
And then other fruits that are grown locally?
Well, we've got a huge assortment of things here. We have plums, pears, apples, peaches, apricots. Some old varieties of trees we've been finding around here have been really interesting because they have some terrific aromas and flavors that we can capture.
And then you also mentioned that there are also wild harvested fruits, maybe things that you wouldn't normally think about eating. Tell me a bit more about those.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun. We've had a lot of people now are sort of heading up the mountains, and they're not only just picking wild mushrooms, they've also started looking at some of the wild berries and other little fruits and things that are out there and brought samples back to me, and I've done small little test distillations. So we've come up with things like a huckleberry liqueur. It's been a lot of fun. Sea buckthorn, which is now being grown commercially, is an interesting liqueur we've been working with. I've also started looking at some of the things like wild rose hips and other types of flavors and berries. So it's been kind of fun. We've been hit and miss. Some have been really good. Others we're not so sure about. We have a garlic project underway with some very old varieties of garlic, but we're all afraid now to open their fermenting barrel and put it in the still. So it's lots of fun.
Tell me, what's the process of actually making something like that? So say you've got the sea buckthorn berries. The berries come in and then what?
Well, we have two processes. When you're making the spirits, it's quite different than you talked about the sea buckthorn as a liqueur. Liqueur is the traditional way, the same way your grandmother or grandparents would have soaked berries in a vodka or a neutral alcohol, added some sugar, let the fruit and berries macerate for a while, press it, filter it, and then bottle it at perfection. The brandies, which we started here 8 years ago, that's quite a different step because there you have to gather the fruit, ripen it to perfection, chop it up, ferment it for about a month with special yeasts, and then go through a double distillation process to try to capture the alcohol and flavor. So when you're fermenting the fruit, you'll probably end up with a very low alcohol, 4 to 6% wine. And then you'd bring that wine and all the fruit pulp over, run it through the still once to capture all the alcohol and aroma that you can. So now you're at about 35% alcohol. Then you go back to your copper pot still, spend a whole day cleaning it so the copper's all clean and reactive because copper's very good at pulling out any sort of impurities out of your fruit alcohol. So you'll redistill your 35% alcohol. It comes out about 82%, 164 proof. And there we take just select pieces which have the nice flavor and aroma. So we're not an alcohol factory. We're all about capturing the pieces of aroma and flavors that we know people will enjoy.
And at the end of this process, what's left over? Is there certain types of alcohol and fruit left over?
Yeah, at the beginning you get something called fronts, which is some very light alcohols. There's some acetones and methanols. They're in all your beers and wines at very low levels. But when you're distilling, I can capture that first 1 or 2 liters. And our still here is wood-fired, so I'm actually recycling the fronts to start the fire in the morning, which is kind of funny. But I can also put it into a lawnmower or a gasoline engine. So in theory, I could run home and drive my vehicle on pears, apples, plums, and peaches. The tail section is some heavier alcohols we collect towards the end, and either they are discarded, or if they have some very good flavors and aromas, we'll rework them in the next batch and try and grab some more flavors from it. The only reason we reject the tails is the alcohol's a little bit harsher to drink. Again, those could be recycled industrially for other purposes, which we're working on.
And how long does this alcohol last? I mean, I know that alcohol in itself is a preservative, so in theory lasts forever. But actually, once you put all that fruit into it, is that really the case?
Oh, once you fine distilled it and then you bottled it 40% and it's sealed and kept away from oxygen, it'll keep indefinitely. The only thing it doesn't like is things like sunlight. We make a product here called Absinthe, which has a lot of natural green plant chlorophylls in it, which could be bleached out. For liqueurs, where you're using just alcohol, the berries, and sugar, they don't like oxygen, light, or heat. So once that bottle's open, it's best to keep it refrigerated or in a cool, dark place. Or as we find here, usually when a person buys the bottle and their friends hear about it, it's consumed that day anyways.
That's Peter von Hahn, senior distiller at Okanagan Spirits in British Columbia, Canada. For more information, visit okanaganspirits.com.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.